We are at a conference, and it's talking about open doors. Open doors and opportunity around the world. And when I think of open doors, my friends, I always think of locally and beyond. Because we live in a global world, and our communities is becoming smaller all the time, and our neighbors are becoming closer all the time. And I always look at it through the eyes of Christ and his vision. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Help us to see his heart and his vision for your world a little bit closer today. Help us to participate and partner with what the Father is doing. Jesus said, I do what my Father is doing. And he wants us to do that as well. So encourage us this morning, we pray, in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Isaiah, there is a scripture in Isaiah chapter 61. The prophet Isaiah reads these words in Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord, the Sovereign Lord, is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. These words we just read were not the last time we would hear them. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 18 to 20, Jesus is in a synagogue and he stands to read. And the words that he read are fulfilling the scriptures. And he reads this: the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And when Christ proclaimed those words in Luke 4:18, at the beginning of his ministry, he was proclaiming and introducing us to his calling. What he was going to do, how he was going to do it, who he was going to minister to, all a part of God's will in this world, a big part. And this is God's call for us as well, for the church, for these young people. This challenge to the church to follow Jesus, to help the poor, the vulnerable, the oppressed, the stranger in our community. We are called to follow Christ in his ministry. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, leads us to our personal responsibility to the words that we had just heard Jesus proclaim. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him. One translation says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him, his steps. As we read the scriptures, and in the New Testament, it is repeated over and over and over again. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of Christ. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Because Colossians 2:6 says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in his steps. How many of you folks are actually interested in religion? Well, that's a little rhetorical. Because actually, I've seen religion do a lot of damage in the world. Or maybe things done in the name of religion. But I think we need to understand true religion is different. And we need to be reminded that there is such a thing as true religion. You know, James chapter 1, verse 27 says this, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Remember the words that Jesus proclaimed? "I have come, preach good news to the poor, to release the oppressed." You know, orphans in other parts of the world that I can get to faster than I can get to La Crete. Because that's how small our world is right now. Some of these orphans are the most vulnerable people. This picture you're seeing is a picture of a little girl. Her name is Doru. The first picture was of my daughter holding her. My daughter spent 4 months in South Sudan. When I met Doru, I heard her story. She had 2 moms, 1 dad, 5 siblings. The father came home one night, a military man, a soldier. The wives wanted, I don't know what they wanted. Maybe food. They had needs. They were begging. He was exasperated. He took out his rifle and he started shooting. He shot one of the moms. The other one ran and fled. The children were left behind. He shot himself. Dora was found about 3 days later, lying in her mom's arms. So when I met Doru, she just sat there. She would never cry. She would never laugh. She just rocked and groaned. It was torture to watch that vulnerable child. But 8 months later, I came back. And Doru, in the setting of an orphanage that was part of the community here in Canada, through prayers and song and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, little Doru was giggling and laughing and playing. That little child had been touched by God, and healing was taking place. And we had a part in that, because Colossians 2:6 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in his steps." And Jesus is all about touching the vulnerable, touching the untouchables, touching those that nobody else will touch to see healing in their lives. Because God is interested in the poor. And why is God interested in the poor? Well, part of the reason is Jesus was poor. You know, Jesus traveled doing his ministry. He relied on the compassion of others. He did. And actually, the scriptures say it was women that provided for him. Often he had no place to lay his head. Food and lodging were challenges for Jesus. It's no wonder that when he sits on his throne in heaven, he says this, "I tell you the truth. Whatever he did for the least of these brothers of mine, the little vulnerable orphan, the street person, the refugee, you did for me." Jesus feels a brotherhood with the poor. And the character of God is compassion. Therefore, the character of God's people should be compassion. Reflect that love. So I think the first thing often that we need to develop is God's view of the subject. And often God speaks about the poor, the extremely vulnerable, making his heart plain for them. God cares for the poor because they touch his heart and because often no one else will. Let's look at some scriptures. And I tell you, there are hundreds in the Bible. Sometimes we just read them over. We don't even see them. The Psalms say this: "My whole being will exclaim, 'Who is like you, O Lord?'" And then it says this: "You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and the needy from those who rob them." In the New Testament, we read these words from James: "Listen, my dear brothers, has God not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom he promised those he loves?" And then we go back to the Psalms again, and we read these words: "Who is like the Lord our God? The one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and on the earth. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people." Colossians 2:6 says, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in his steps." When we talk about our neighbors, 2/3 of the world is suffering. We are honored and we are privileged, folks. I tell you the truth. They suffer in poverty, they suffer vulnerable, but they are our neighbors. And they are closer to us than we can imagine. I'm always impressed with Philippians, when Paul says in Philippians 2, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." In Deuteronomy, the Old Testament law, the law of God, we read these words in Deuteronomy 10: "For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords." It's always about the greatness and the power of God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. And then it says this: "He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the stranger, giving them food and clothing." Did you hear that? Did you hear what God does? He loves the stranger and he gives food and clothing. Did you hear that this morning about some young people handing out some food and clothing? The heart of God. Because with the message comes the deeds. And with the deeds, we bring a message, a good news message. I'm going to just share, in closing, a story. When I started my ministry in Southern Ontario, I had a ministry partner. His name was Chester. Nice name, Chester. He was Dutch. Van Huizen. Van Huizen, something like that. We were starting a housing project to minister to refugees, their first home in Canada, and to introduce them to the love of Christ. Well, Chester was walking in one of those big box stores, and he noticed a man. He looked lost. And so Chester came up to the guy and said, I can see you're a little disoriented, you're lost. Is there anything I can help you with?" And the man just fell on his knees and started crying. And Chester lifted him up and said, "Let's go outside." Took him outside, and he started to share his story, his refugee journey from country to country, through the bush, escaping rebels, separated from his wife and 5 children, didn't know where they are, hadn't seen them for 7 years, didn't know if they were alive and dead. He was overwhelmed. He was wrecked. Chester said, "Wow, I'll go. I'll go look for your family. Chester gets on a plane, heads over to Africa, visits three or four countries, goes to these refugee camps looking for this guy's family. Chester is a little bit of a risk taker and on the wild side. He finds them. A miracle of God. He gives me a call. Gordon, I found them. I found them. You need to find a church that'll sponsor them so they can be reunited. I'm going, oh man, okay. Cool, wow. God's working. And so I found a church and the family came and they were reunited and John became a pastor and he's ministering the word of God. God is working in our world powerfully. We need to partner with him in everything that he's doing. And if we don't know, we need to ask him, how do we partner with you, God? And sometimes it's partnering with those that are doing things like what we're doing. Sometimes it's going ourselves. Sometimes it's praying significantly. Sometimes it's giving generously. God is great and awesome. God cares for the vulnerable. God wants us to partner with him. God is great. God has all the resources. And guess what God has done? God has given them to us. He's given us resources that we can share. And what does he expect from us? That we share. Thank you for letting us share this morning in this service. We hope, I pray, that it was encouraging to you. And once again, if God is calling you to partner with us, Sharon and I are still struggling with about $400 a month and some ministry projects. So maybe God will speak to somebody here. We give thanks. Am I closing in prayer or is somebody closing? Let us close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you encourage us through your Son. Thank you that you give us words like, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in his steps. Father, challenge us. May your Holy Spirit minister to us deeply, to move us, to shake us, to help us. We commit ourselves to you, and I commit this fellowship to you. I thank you for what they are doing. I thank you for what they're going to do. And we ask for your rich blessing upon them and our partnership. We give thanks and we pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.